Welcome back. In this lesson, we're building a DJ intro pitch blueprint with Jungle Swing in Ableton Live 12, and the goal is simple: make an intro that a selector can mix into cleanly, but still feels tough, alive, and full of tension. Think of this as the handoff section of your track. It's not just there to fill space. It has to give the next tune something stable to lock onto, while also hinting at the energy that's coming. In drum and bass, especially jungle, rollers, and darker bass music, that intro can make the difference between sounding like a rough sketch and sounding like a proper release-ready tool. For this one, we're aiming for a 16-bar or 32-bar intro. If you want something tight and functional, 16 bars works great. If you want more room for atmosphere, swing development, and a stronger tension curve, go with 32. Either way, set your tempo around 172 BPM, which sits right in that sweet spot for jungle and darker DNB. Start by thinking in phrase blocks. The first few bars should be stripped back and readable. Then you gradually bring in more movement, more pitch lift, more drum detail, and finally a proper pre-drop push. That structure matters because DJs need clear landmarks. Even if the sound design gets wild, the arrangement should still feel easy to follow. First, let's build the drum bass. Drop in a breakbeat or an edited break from your own library and get that jungle swing feeling going. If you're working with an audio break in Live 12, use warp in beats mode and listen carefully for transient smearing. You do not want this to sound over-quantized and robotic. Jungle swing lives in the little imperfections. A good approach here is to keep the core kick and snare relationship fairly stable, then let the ghost notes, hats, and extra percussion lean a little behind or ahead of the grid. That way the groove has personality without falling apart. If the break feels too stiff, use the groove pool and try a light shuffled groove, or push the swing up into that 55-58% zone. Nothing extreme, just enough to give it that lilt. If the break needs more motion, split it into two layers. Let one track handle the main body of the break, and put a second high-passed ghost layer on top with a Q8. High-pass the top layer somewhere around 180-250 Hz so it adds energy and movement without messing with the low end. That's a really useful jungle trick, because it gives you motion up top while still keeping the intro mixable. Now let's move into the pitch blueprint part. This is where the intro starts to feel intentional instead of just looped. Instead of using a plain noise riser, build a tonal riser that actually climbs in pitch and feels connected to the key of the track. You can do this with wavetable, operator, or even a resampled hit or vocal fragment if you want a more organic feel. The key idea is gradual motion. You want the ear to feel the energy rising, but not in such an obvious way that it becomes cheesy. If you use operator, automate the pitch or brightness over 8 or 16 bars. If you use simpler, transpose the sample or automate device pitch. If you use a synth like Wavetable, move the pitch and also slowly open the filter so the sound feels like it's waking up. A solid starting point is to begin with the riser fairly filtered and narrow, then gradually open the cutoff over time. You might start around 500 Hz and end somewhere in the several kilohertz range, depending on the source. Add a touch of reverb so it blooms in the space, but keep the dry slash wet subtle at first. Then automate it upward as you approach the transition. A little saturation helps too. A few dB of drive can make the riser feel more urgent without making it harsh. And that brings us to an important point. Use contrast. Don't escalate everything all the time. If every bar gets bigger, nothing feels bigger. Leave a couple of moments where the drums breathe and the riser is exposed. Then when you bring the next layer in, it hits harder. A really effective trick is call and response between the drums and the riser. Let the break carry the first few bars, then bring in a small fill, a reverse hit, or a crash to signal that the section is evolving. Then let the riser take more attention for a moment. Then bring the drums back in with a little more detail. That back and forth keeps the intro feeling alive. As you shape that movement, keep the low end under control. You want the intro to suggest bass weight, not give away the whole drop. A filtered Reese whisper, a restrained sub pulse, or a bass stad can all work well here. Keep anything subby centered and mono, and usually mute or heavily filter the deepest layer until close to the drop. The intro should hint at the bass identity, not fully reveal it. That low end discipline is huge indeed, NB. If the intro is too heavy too soon, the drop won't feel like a payoff. But if there's no bass character at all, the section can feel weak. The sweet spot is suggestion. Let the listener feel that something heavy is building underneath, even if it's not fully opened yet. Now let's talk effects, because this is where your riser starts to feel big and expensive without getting messy. On the riser track, try a chain with auto filter. saturator, echo or delay, and reverb. You can also add a little redux if you want a gritty metallic edge. Keep it tasteful. The point is tension, not harshness. Drive the saturator a little bit over time, maybe just 2 to 6 dB. Open the filter gradually. Let the echo feedback creep up a touch, and extend the reverb as you move toward the drop. If the top end starts to get too sharp, use EQ8 to tame the 2.5 to 5 kHz range. The area can get painful fast, especially in darker DNB where the drums and effects are all fighting for attention. For the final few bars, you want the whole intro to feel like it's lifting off the floor. Add more drum density, maybe a snare roll, a short fill, or a duplicated break pattern that gets tighter and more urgent. This is also a good moment for a tiny dropout. Even just a beat of space before the drop can make the impact feel way bigger. That's one of the oldest tricks in the book, and it still works because the ear loves contrast. If everything is playing right up to the drop can feel smaller. But if you give it a brief pocket of silence or near silence, the release lands much harder. A strong arrangement pattern here could be something like this. The first 8 bars are sparse and mix-friendly, the second 8 bars bring in the pitch blueprint and more movement, the next 8 bars add drum detail and low-end tension, and the final 4 bars are pure pre-drop energy with fills, automation, and that little air pocket right before the drop lands. Now let's tighten the whole section with bus processing. Route your break, ghost percussion, riser, and intro bass into an intro bus. On that bus, use glue compressor lightly, maybe just 1 to 2 dB of gain reduction. Add EQ8 to clean up any rumble or harshness, and maybe a touch of saturator for cohesion. Keep the compression gentle, around 2 to 1 ratio, with a moderate attack so your transients still pop, and a release that breathes naturally. You're not trying to smash the intro. You're just gluing the parts together so the section feels like one idea instead of a bunch of separate clips. Also, check the intro in mono. That matters more than people think. A wide riser can sound huge in headphones, but if the phase is messy, it can fall apart on a club system. Keep the sub and punch elements centered, and only widen the upper layers if they actually stay solid in mono. Here's a good teacher tip. Check the intro at a lower listening volume too. If it still reads clearly when turned down, it's probably got good arrangement shape. If it only works when it's loud, you may be relying too much on raw impact and not enough on structure. If you want to push this idea further, you can split the riser into 2 stages. Start with a more tonal, restrained first riser, then switch to a brighter and noisier second riser in the last 4 bars. That gives the intro a real sense of chapters. It feels like the track is unfolding instead of just climbing in one straight line. You can also make the swing evolve halfway through. Start with a looser break feel, then tighten the percussion slightly in the second half of the intro. That subtle shift makes the track feel like it's waking up, which works especially well in jungle and neuro-adjacent styles. Another great move is to use a small harmonic hint near the end. It could be a second note, a fifth, or a minor interval that foreshadows the drop's mood. That way the intro isn't just functional, it actually tells the listener something about what's coming. So to recap the main blueprint, build the intro in clear phrases. Keep the jungle swing in the layers rather than everywhere. Shape a tonal pitch riser instead of relying only on noise. Use automation to build a believable tension curve, and keep the low end controlled until the moment of release. If you get this right, your intro stops being dead air and starts acting like a proper DJ handoff. It gives the next record something to mix into, it creates anticipation, and it makes the drop feel bigger because you earned it. For your practice, try making a 16-bar intro today. Load a break, add a high-passed ghost layer, build a pitched riser with a synth or resampled tone, automate the rise across the phrase, and hold back the sub until the final bars. Then test it once in headphones and once in mono. If it still feels clear and powerful in both, you're on the right track. All right, let's move on and build that intro like a Riedel club tool.